The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Well, welcome back to another episode of Buffalo Happy Hour. Mike, what's going on?
Derek, we are in one of our favorite spots in Buffalo. Welcome back to the show for, 15th, 90th, no idea how many times, but welcome back, Justin Hartman. Excited to have you. So we have a few things to touch on, dive into, and catch up about. So for those that have no idea who you are, we'll start with names, titles, locations, and then we'll get right into it, man.
Sure. Thanks for having me again. Yeah, it's we've been on a couple of times. It's always a good time. I'm Justin Hartman, the co-founder, owner of Hartman's Distilling Co. here in Buffalo, New York. We're located at 55 Chicago Street. We're about 6.5, going on 7 years old. And we primarily started up making whiskeys, bourbons, and waiting for our stuff to age and get to bottle. Here we are.
I love it.
Is this the first time that we're doing an interview since you released your own product and not MGP?
I think it is.
Yeah. That's exciting.
That is exciting. Yeah. So our own stuff hit the bottle not last September, but the September before. So September 2024, actually.
And we can definitely talk about it because your main gentleman here in sales as a rep was kind of pushing you, saying like, hey, this is ready to go now. And you're like, no, it's not. And you were kind of the last one to get on board because essentially your whole staff was telling you it's ready. What was that like?
You know, I definitely wanted to, you just wanted to be perfect. You only get one first introduction kind of thing, right? So I was dragging my feet. They were like, no, I think it is. And we got to that 4.5 blended with a 5.5. And that was the sweet spot on the bourbon. And the rye was closer to 5 years when it was the sweet spot. So we did wait past the general typical 4-year mark just to make sure it was where we think it needed to be.
So that whole process is interesting because you're the first person I think that we talked to that already had stock from somewhere else and you were managing that next batch. So when you were trying to figure out what that tasted like, you said you were looking for that sweet spot, but was there a note that you were looking for that says we might be pushing a little bit too far, we need to bottle this now?
Yes. So sometimes in the, so our signature bourbon, we'll start with that, is a blend of a high rye and a high wheat bourbon. And the high wheat bourbon, you can get a lot of that lightly toasted caramel notes earlier on, a little bit more pronounced. And if you let it go a little too long, those become a little subtle. And they get replaced with sometimes a deeper butterscotch or a raisin or something like that. But then you got to almost wait another 3 years, it feels like, to get some of those deeper notes. So if you're not going to, so you want to push it to where you think that's the peak of the sweetness that you're getting without getting the big body that comes in at year 7. Otherwise, you got to wait a little longer.
Got it.
Yeah.
That's so fascinating because it's so good. And I know that had to be so tough for you to pull that trigger on it because your juice was amazing even before it was your own. So you crafted this whole thing where this is Hartman's taste and everyone has grown to love it. And now it's like, okay, now it's my stuff. And you had to have been nervous.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It's funny. Justin Brink, one of our head distillers here, he joked, he said, well, after I got this job, I told my dad, my job's secure for at least 4 years. there's some truth to that. Yeah. So when we started cracking and opening these things and we were pleasantly surprised, our gamble of investing heavy in the nicer barrels, right? The 18-month season, the independent staves that are always heavy toasted, char 2, char 3, the nicer Cadillac barrels paid off.
So that's, are they more expensive? Are those more expensive?
Oh, yeah. So back when we started buying barrels, so this is, 2020, late 2019, early 2020, those are $450 a barrel. When you could, yeah, brand new. When you could buy barrel mills, 53 gallons for $1.50. Wow. Or there's a couple other cooperages that popped up, and I won't name names, but they were, because they didn't have stock and they were brand new, they were kiln drying. And kiln drying, I think we talked about this, you know, it completely takes away the purpose. So yeah, investing more in your heavy toast, you know, making sure that it sits on a toasting element for 5 minutes before it's even charred. Investing in your seasoned wood, it makes all the difference.
Were you taking trips up there to the cooperage to really dive into their specific process to make sure that it was in alignment with what you wanted with your juice?
I took trips to different trade shows and events and met with the head salesperson at Independent Stave several times, yes.
Okay.
And they do have a facility in Lebanon, Kentucky, and I actually drove by it with my dad. It wasn't open on that particular day, but they do offer customers. This is pretty cool. If you're a customer of theirs, and it's not easy to become a customer because they deal with all the big boys, they have a library in this particular location that you're allowed to go into and look at their where they put all their publications with regards to research and oak and aging. And you can go in, you can take notes. You can't take any books out, but you're allowed to go in, take notes. I don't think you'd photograph or anything. You could take notes. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to do that. It's kind of like you got to get set up months in advance kind of thing. But they do offer that, but all of it was mostly communications with Chad Spaulding. He's their head of sales, and you know, describing this is what I'm looking for, this is what I want to do. He was the one that told me that look, if you're trying to put out a bourbon around 4, 5, 6 years, your best bet's probably char two, not char three. Char three, char four, those are for your older bourbons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting.
I love that. We recently just me specifically really started to dive into wood management with blenders.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Scotch world, so gentlemen like, you know, Billy Walker, he's a chemist by trade, been in the industry forever, but he's hellbent on wood management and understanding specific grains paired with specific types of wood. And he has an idea of what he wants it to taste like so that he's pulling from so many different whiskeys to then create that end result and end product for his consumer. And you as a master distiller and head distiller of Hartmann's, I love that distinction because there's distillers and then there's blenders. And do you ever think that you want to get into the blending world in your career?
So you mean like buying barrels from across the...
Yeah, or just doing like a blending project, you know, because mash bills is a whole different science for sure. And there's, you know, hats off, tons of respect for that. But from a blending standpoint, I didn't know if you were like, okay, I understand the mash bill side for sure. Now I kind of want to dip my toes into the blending side.
So the blending side, we've always dipped our toes a little bit because our bourbon's the blend of the high rye and the high wheat. So we pick the two that complementary, you know, are mostly complementary to each other. And to be honest, to give a lot of credit, we have someone on our staff. Her name's Molly Balgeron. She has a phenomenal palate. And she's now in charge of our entire barrel program and telling me, now she tells me, okay, this one's ready, this one's ready. And she kind of sorts the wheats that blends, the wheat bourbons that blend with the rye bourbons, the rye whiskeys that she believes are ready. And we, you know, we try them all together, but generally we lean heavily on our palate.
I love that. That's incredible. We need to do we need to pick her brain too. Like go to the Rick House and like do something there. Yes. That'd be really sweet.
Yeah.
The char two, that whole Independence Day aspect that you're talking about, did you have knowledge that the bourbon that you were sourcing previously used that same barrel and that's what drove you to there at one point? Or was that more the discussion that you just had with the guy at the Independent Stave to say this is what I'm thinking?
A little of both. Okay. So it MGP was the stuff, the source product. Yeah. We used. They used primarily Independent Stave. There was a few Kelvin, I believe, but I'd say 99% Independent Stave. However, they didn't use the premium barrels at Independent Stave. They used a simple the standard Independent Stave barrel is 6 months seasoned, no toast. And then you can pick your char two or char three. I believe all Independent Staves are usually char three, 6 months seasoned. So this was a little bit more, like I said, this would be a little more quality because it's another 12 months being seasoned. It's heavy toast. So it's certainly, that's why I call them Cadillac. It's even more Cadillac than MGP themselves were using.
Sure. Yeah. Is there, you talked about the saying that this is a better barrel for a 4 year and this is a better barrel maybe for something specifically for the char.
Yes.
Can you go into that a little bit more? Like, what is that? What would that introduce longer term?
Yeah. So the char, you got to remember, is carbon, and carbon does what? It filters, mm-hmm. right? So the idea is that the wood sugars, the caramels, are all behind the char in what they call the thin red line. And that's why we got all of our barrels toasted, is it actually like triples the size of this thin red line, because it brings all the wood sugars to the surface, then you light it on fire. The best example of this, and we have a couple of staves you could kind of compare and you could see the difference. I'd say the best place to tour for this is Michter's. Michter's, every single one of their barrels is a heavy toast. Brown-Forman started toasting every single one of their barrels as well. Mm. And they have, right when you walk in off of Main Street in downtown Louisville, they'll show you the big wooden slab staves, and you could just see the difference. You know, one red line's like this, one red line's barely recognizable. And that's, they're explaining why the heavy toasting really changed the landscape, and everybody's going to that, essentially. So... yeah, I mean, it was the discussion with Chad at the time, going to Michter's, hearing what their thoughts about, the heavy toasting was, and that led us to that direction. We're like, yeah, you know what, we want to take that extra step.
Does the bourbon versus rye play anything into that at all? Like, the extraction from that thin line matter from the rye versus the bourbon?
I think the extraction from the thin line, the bigger the thin line, red line in any barrel, whether it's a rye, a bourbon, a scotch, whatever, yeah. I think it's important, okay. right? I think that's where the caramelized sugars are, and you're getting as many sugars as you can, and bacteria breakdown, all that. One thing that we do with our rye that I guess I didn't really plug until recently, I was out doing sales calls in the Finger Lakes, right? And I was like talking about it, and I was like, oh my gosh, we should plug this a little more, is a lot of rye whiskey, most rye whiskey, is they do not use a brand new oak barrel. You do not have to.
Mm, sure.
They take their bourbon barrel if they happen to make bourbon, and they put the rye. We always have used a brand new Cadillac 18-month season heavy toast Chartreuse or Chartreuse for our rye whiskey as well. And I think that's why it's kind of caught on.
I feel like that was organic. Like, you didn't even think of that.
100%.
Like, oh, well, just put it in the yes, cask.
I wish I could take credit for that. No, that was just put in a new barrel. I might have even thought that you needed to be in a new barrel at the time, to be honest with you.
I love that.
That's so fascinating, because I mean, as a business person, you would rather reuse that instead of getting rid of it.
100%.
And you're just like, we're going for it,
right?
Man.
But don't forget, at the time when you start with nothing, I don't have a used barrel to put it in. That's so you fair. Have to put it in a new barrel. We just kind of kept doing it.
Yeah, that's incredible. Because previously when they did send you whiskey, they were sending you barrels, right? Or were they sending you bottle? Was it bottled in Kentucky, or was it bottled here?
MGP? No, yeah. We bought MGP. It's kind of cool. So we bought a 6-month-old, a year-old, 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old MGP, and immediately brought all in the barrels, and immediately brought the barrels up here to age in Western New York to take advantage of the barometric pressure changes.
Sure.
And I think that's why some of the independent stave barreled rye, for example, did so well. We brought it up here at 6 months old. We sent it to San Fran back in 2021 at 3.5 years old. It took home a double gold, right? It was literally probably, there's 400 different ryes. Half of them are probably using the exact same MGP, mm-hmm. right? Like, so how do you explain that? Maybe we got lucky. I don't know. We did it again 4 years later.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I love that. And, 2 points. One, congrats on double gold.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We're definitely excited to try that and take a look at it and showcase it. And secondly, round two, we were talking about your rickhouse barometric pressure and how you were essentially getting flavor notes faster than you thought you were going to because of the environment. What has that been like now with more time in the rickhouse? You're starting to see things. Our weather has changed in the last year, even again. Mm-hmm. So what has that entire process been like from your standpoint?
Yeah, I think it just continues to reaffirm our belief that these crazy weather changes and pattern changes, especially on a day-to-day basis, you know, especially right at this time of year where it's 60 one day, it's 32 the next, and it definitely, we're seeing deeper, richer. And interesting enough, I just want to, because this kind of ties into something we were just talking about, we've noticed that the char twos versus char threes, the char twos are coming out fuller. Right now, they're coming out with that extra element of sweetness that I was kind of talking about, mm-hmm. which is fascinating, because I guess Chad, shout out to you, buddy. You knew what you were talking about when I took your class how many years ago.
What's interesting with that, and kind of this attests to like New York whiskey in general, we have the classification of Empire Rye, where it has to be sourced from grains here. We don't have anything for like Empire Bourbon or something along those lines. Do you ever see that coming? Because New York is so different from everywhere else from a weather standpoint that we're pigeonholing ourselves from a, like, Tennessee whiskey could be anything from Tennessee, right?
Correct.
So why don't we do that here? Would it be beneficial to do that here? Or do we just not grow corn, so we kind of can't? Yeah. We do grow corn.
Yeah,
so.
Can you and Brian McKenzie like work on that? For yeah,
right. Right? You know, that's not a bad idea. I think Empire Rye came about only because the Northwest are so known for rye, right? Mm. That's like one grain you can't even get in Kentucky. And they forget to tell people about that during their little marketing spiels. They're like, and we grow the best corn, but most of our mash bills, the next grain in, the flavor grain's rye, which you can't grow anywhere near this state, right? Sure. So I think that kind of, you know, Pennsylvania, I guess, was like the birthplace of rye, mm-hmm. is my understanding, and then New York and eventually to the Midwest. So I think that's why rye caught on specifically. And our rye does qualify as Empire Rye. It's all made with New York grain and everything like that. And maybe there'll be future iterations where we take advantage of that name and that moniker, if you will. But bourbon, I don't think it's a bad thing. I mean, I would really like to get the jet stream areas, the Northeast and Northwest, known as some of the best places to age whiskey.
We love that because we talk about that all the time. And everyone that's come to our whiskey class is probably sick of me telling everybody this, but I'm reading a book about the terroir of whiskey and understanding like how grain grows in different areas of the United States and how that impacts flavors, even though most people don't think that it does because 70% of it comes from the barrel, which is true. But there's also a lot of it that comes from the ground, too, that we just haven't experienced because terroir seems to be like a pretentious wine thing and we don't really want to talk about it. So that will be interesting as I continue reading this. Well, now I'm chapter 5, but as I continue reading this, of if they get into, because I know he goes to Finger Lakes Distilling, the guy, the author that wrote this.
Very cool.
So it's going to be interesting to hear about that because it truly is an interesting place. And sometimes we discount it because, like, you're just rooting for your hometown state. And that's true. But also, this whiskey does taste different.
I 100% agree. And it's not only the terroir of the grain. I mean, the barrel has terroir too.
Yeah, sure.
That's like the whole thing, right? Mm-hmm. This oak grew up on this side of the mountain. This oak, you know, there's a whole rabbit hole you can go into about that. So, so for those who, you know, think terroir is pretentious, it's in everything.
Right? It is 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, we do have our own corn in Eden.
We have our own corn festival in Eden.
For bourbon. So there's some sourcing opportunities. I'm not, you know, just saying. But let's talk about Double Gold.
Sure.
How did that, do you just send it in the mail? Do you have to go there? What is this? How does this work?
Yeah, so this was January 2025. Again, went to Molly and say, Molly, pick me out a couple of good bourbons and a good rye, and let's send her on in. And we did, because it was the first time it was our stuff, right? So I want to say, all right. So with MGP product, now granted, it was young MGP that we aged here, and we did our slow cut process and our bottling process and all that stuff. But this is now 100% right off the still, 100%, 95%, I should say, New York State grain. We still have that honey malt component that we don't have here in New York State. Although we just got a batch in, allegedly the first ever made in New York State. We're testing it out so we can be 100% New York State. So look for that in 5 years. So we sent it in, and honestly, we kind of forgot about it. And then I got an email. I was like, oh, my God, we did submit something to that. And, you know, when they open up the email, it says congratulations and says that you won. The bourbon won silver again, so matched the MGP. And then the rye took home double gold again, which we were just absolutely baffled by. And then we pulled the barrel, right? Because we didn't like bottle it at the time or anything. We just shoved the barrel back in the storage. I'm like, Molly, you got to go find what barrel that was, because it's a single barrel proof expression. So she had to hunt it down. Thank God we didn't like, you know, accidentally proof it down and send it out.
Yeah, right.
A cool little interesting note about this, though. What she picked happened to be not a 95.5. She ended up picking, now let me get this right, 60% rye, 30% Bloody Butcher corn, 65% rye, 30% Bloody Butcher corn, 5% honey malt. So it was like a unique kind of one of our, and I guess we did a bunch of these. I don't even remember doing them, but I remember we got a whole bunch of Bloody Butcher in that we had a farmer grow for us in upstate New York, and I think we just started doing weird shit with it. Sorry.
You know, that is stuff. Amazing, man.
Yeah.
He is like, if you and I started a distillery, we're like, we just sent it in. I forgot about it. I didn't 100%. Know that we sent it in.
Yes, 100%. So you literally do mail it in. You don't have to be yes. there in person. You don't like, have to set be there up a table. Person.
Nope. You mail it in. You mail two bottles in. Because we actually just did it 2 days ago. So I guess you actually do it in April. We just did it. Well, I waited, of course, the last week to do it. This
time around. Also like us.
Yeah. Also like us. So it just went out. We did it again. I had Molly pick bourbon and another rye again. We just sent that out. But the cool thing about this cask, and I don't think people realize how cool this is, that we put this on sale to the public, only because it's a single barrel. Mm-hmm. And this is the barrel. The exact barrel that these whiskey experts, and you go right online, and this is why San Fran's so big. It's like the CEO of Diageo. It is like the master distiller of, or the former master distiller of Maker's Mark. It's like the la creme de creme, and they do it all blind. So, and there's about 400 different ryes, and only about 20-ish got a double gold. And ours was one of three single barrel, just plain ryes that got a double gold. Because rye's one category. So every other one that got a double gold was like, all right, it was then aged in this barrel, blended with this barrel, aged again in this barrel. It was like iterations sure. and finishings and cool things, right, that made it taste really unique and really cool. But ours was the only one that was just, nah, just barrel proof right out of the barrel. One of the only ones. And so we put it on a sale to the public, and the whiskey geeks who knew about it, you know, bought it right up at their local liquor stores. But some were, a couple of cases were left in Empire's warehouse, and I've been buying them back case by case. And they won't give them to me. They won't even give me back at cost. I have to pay the premium, the upcharge on them.
Oh my God, that's yeah. hilarious.
Yeah, it's like a restocking fee.
Yes. That's yeah. What, yeah. That's yeah. So every couple of weeks I buy another case back because we'll sell a couple here. I'll stash another one away and stuff like that.
So that's obviously a change though, because you are normally, like you were saying, 95.5. Mm-hmm. So putting this out there at 65.35, I mean, is your next batch going in the barrel at 65.35 or are you sticking with the 95.5?
Well, no, he's got his flagship, Derek, and then he's got his competition.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I got my show pony.
Show pony.
We're going to stick with the 95.5. To be honest, I have to ask Molly what she sent in this time. So maybe it was a 95.5. But she said we had a bunch of those Bloody Butcher ones. And I think the idea is ultimately we want to get into maybe twice a year. We have a Sunday where we pull a bunch of these barrels. I think we actually have one coming up the Sunday of or before Father's Day. So a little pitch here. We're going to pull a bunch of barrels, and you can come in and thief and create your own whiskey and take it home with you right there. We're going to seal it. You take it home with you right there. There's a bunch of places that are doing it in Kentucky. And it's a blast, mm-hmm. right? You're there with your friends. You're trying a bunch of whiskeys. You blend it, and you get to walk out with the bottle in your hand.
That's such a cool thing to do.
Yeah.
This is awesome, man. It's really cool to see you guys continue, even with the shift from the source stuff to your own, that you're still, like, you stuck true to it. And that's so cool to see.
Thanks. Yeah. I appreciate that.
So the other thing that we have in front of us, though, is, do we want to pour any of this? Can we pour something?
Yeah, why don't we start with the double gold since we've been talking about it?
Hell yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think I might have tried this when I was in store or in here one time. If I did come, did we try it when you and I came in?
December. It came out in December.
Because we were here earlier this year. Dropping off Neat Notes stuff.
I don't think we did for Neat Notes. I think we just had regular rye then.
Because this kept coming out. We kept losing stock of it. That's why I've been buying the cases.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so you might not have had it.
We Pour do have one. We have a side audience member.
Sure
Justin's
do.
Father.
Hello.
Just have to make sure that he's got his dram. But cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers, guys.
Fine, sir.
Thanks for having us.
Of course. Thanks for being on. Ooh, it's buttery on the nose.
Yeah, and don't forget, that's 114 proof.
Ooh, Jesus. Yeah, that does taste like it. That is so interesting because you get that very, very sweet note at the end, mm-hmm. and that has to be from that butcher corn.
It has to be.
Yeah.
And you'll notice, like, that spearmint flavor in rye is not as pungent or present, really.
No.
I think it's, yeah, and I think some people, that's what turns them off to rye, is that spearminty flavor, and it's really not present at all.
Do you, so the honey malt that you have,
mm-hmm.
Where does that come from? Is that like an England thing, or is that Kentucky?
It's right now. It's Bryce Malting. They're huge.
Got it.
They
okay.
do, you know, 80% of the beer market.
Sure.
Right, and I think it's Minnesota. However, where we get all the rest of our grains from, it's a co-op in Batavia. Just claims it's New York State honey malt. We just brought in 2,000 pounds to play around with it, make sure it's hitting the same specs. Mm-hmm. It looked like honey malt, smelled like honey malt. Must be honey malt.
You've been using them in Batavia since you opened, right?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah, I remember you mentioning them before.
Yeah, everything but the honey malt. No, they've been a great partner too. Mm-hmm.
Was the honey malt because you were looking for a little bit different of a flavor than regular malted barley, or did you even think of malted rye at all? Was that a thing when you started? Because I think malted rye is a little bit newer, isn't it?
Yeah, malted rye was not on our radar back in 2019. Honestly, honey malt, we quote-unquote borrowed from Rabbit Hole. We were there for their very first tour, my wife and I, just so happened to be the day that they opened up their tasting room, and we took like their second tour ever. And we ended up sipping up on their third floor. They have like a little speakeasy overlooking downtown Louisville, and we were sipping their three-year-old. And I was like, this is kind of like a weird, sweet, honey note. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's actually, we use honey malt. So I was like, done. Sold. Done.
Sold.
Yeah, why not?
Wow. 2,000 pounds, come here.
Yeah.
I actually like this. I don't know if I want to say more than your regular rye, but this one kind of, you get a lot of the flavor on the sides of your mouth, mm-hmm. and then that sweetness just like comes after the fact and just coats your entire tongue all the way down.
100%.
Like, this is such a good product, and it tastes good from the beginning to the end, which I think a lot of ryes miss because they try so hard for that punchy peppery note, but miss that sweetness on the back end. And I this is just amazing, man.
Thanks. Yeah.
I also don't understand how it's so like balanced for 114 from through and through.
Right. Right. There's not like a burn right on the tip. Or a burn right in the back. It's yeah. kind of just even keel.
It's steady, yeah. Yeah, it's steady Eddie.
Yeah.
Good job, Molly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, good job, team.
Now, does she come to you and say, like, this is what I'm thinking? These are a couple products. Almost like you're sourcing a single barrel, let's say. And she comes to you and she's like, this is barrel A, B, and C. Tell me which one you like. Or what is your involvement, I guess, in that process, too?
Yeah, that's exactly what happens. Yeah, she'll pull from a couple of different ones. Then myself and the rest of the production team will all sit around and kind of sip and be like, oh, yeah, this is great. This is great. This is great. I think we knew we had something special here. There was a couple that we thought were superior, but I think everybody agreed that this barrel happened to be, you know, ready to rock and something different. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why we said, I think it was just so different than your normal rye is why we're like, yeah, we should send this one in. What the hell?
Did you use any of the Bloody Butcher in like a bourbon product at all or no?
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're coming out.
Oh,
yeah. Still probably a year and a half away, but we did. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
I love the experiment behind like the little R&D. How many, say you have 250 casks, you know, flagship, rock solid, this is what we need. Out of those 250, how many do you set aside for R&D? Roundabout.
I wish we were sophisticated enough that we do that. we kind of just pull them as we need them.
Okay. Love it.
We spent 5 years literally just making as much bourbon as we could possibly do. And now we're sitting on 500 casks of rye, bourbon, all those other things, and now we're just having fun with it.
Are you guys thinking about a single malt at all or no?
We thought about that on and off. You know, it's a little tough for us to get behind that only because of the three main people tasting this. It's not really in our palate range. I know it finally got classified, right? Was it last year as American single malt, which is really cool. It may be something we look into, but right now kind of just focusing on the blends, like possibly getting more into blending, mm-hmm. plus possibly getting more into, you know, we do a lot of those little finishing one-offs and have fun with it that way. And maybe the next thing we're thinking of is different toasts, different, you know, chunks, stave chunks or something we could pop in there and give it a little extra unique flavor.
Is that experimental thing going on still with the bourbon Asian Cab Franc barrels and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so we have two aging away right now. If you asked me to remember their names, I could not. The one's a crazy French name, one's a crazy Italian.
Perfect. And then we're sitting next to the Bondsman Club, but then also over there is the Bills and the Sabres. We're not jinxing anything. We're not calling anything out. But How long have those been aging for? And are you nervous that they're not going to taste good when they're done?
A little nervous because we have not sampled those. We've just let those be. We barreled both of them on October 20th, 2020.
Okay.
Because we used a bunch of different distillates, so we had to wait to get a bunch of different, including Bloody Butcher. We had to wait to get a bunch of different distillates on hand to kind of make the blends. We made the blends based on 51% corn because it was the Sabres 51st season, stuff like that. The right on the barrel you can read, but it's, I think they're both 5-grain mash bills.
Wow.
Yeah.
5-grain?
What
else is included?
I think there's malt, honey malt, corn, Bloody Butcher, or Dent 2, Bloody Butcher, rye. Was there something else? Wheat.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's love crazy. That. Okay. Serious question. From your time downstate and growing up in the whiskey world, meaning your palate was growing up, your experience of tasting different things was growing up, I'm sure you remember the first time you had Macallan 18. Now, what thought process do you have? You're, 7-8 years in. You've been doing this for a while. A Hartmann's 18 year. That's kind of like an unwritten, unofficial stamp of we made it.
Yeah.
I
would agree.
So what are your thoughts on a Hartmann's 18, whether it's a bourbon or not, but I assume it would be. But say you have an 18 year bourbon finally bottled. Have you thought about that? Is that like one of those things where it's kind of like growing up thinking you're going to score the Super Bowl touchdown to close the game out?
I don't think I've ever thought about it that way. I will now. When I go home to now, pour myself, yes, excellent. Thank you for putting that visual in my mind. We've got a whole bunch of whiskey aging away. Production team will go through and when we're picking blends and whatnot, and they've specifically taken some of our first stuff, maybe not our first, very first stuff, because I think we're still trying to figure things out, but that year and a half in, and they've kind of put those barrels away to make sure, so they might not come out right when we turn 18, maybe 19, 20, but to make sure we had a solid grip on what we were doing. But it's awesome to have a goal, right? At that point in time, it's, I'll probably have one with my son, which is really cool.
Right. Yeah. That's wild. Just because I know that you're a nerd just as much as we are, the evaporation, climate, and barometric pressure conversation is always one of our favorites. We had a discussion with the guy from...
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now, they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Devil's River, and he was telling us about their angel share rate. Do you have any idea how much you lose every year? Like your bourbon that's in there for 4 years now, How much did you lose? Do you know?
Yes, we do. We do kind of try to keep an eye on that. And don't forget, we're single story rick house, mm-hmm. right? You know, and no climate control except a heater that does kick on at 45. And we're somewhere around 5 to 8% on the typical barrel. Hmm. Now there is a bunch of barrels a year. Now there is a there's barrels where things happen. You know, they're so buried back there that one of the most interesting discoveries we made is. As we were clawing through the barrels, probably trying to look for that guy again, moving the racks around, we found a barrel that probably was a third full, maybe even a little less. And it's like, well, son of a gun, it cracked and you know it leaked out and it was so buried that we didn't get to it in time. And so, but what had happened, when this is really unique, is that it shot it up. The proof. Now, this is only like probably a 4.5-year-old whiskey. The proof shot up to like 139.
Really?
So we found out if you're light in the hole, like, you know, you don't have 53 gallons. The less gallons you have, there's not a lot of water in there. So the quicker the water evaporates off.
Did you try it?
Oh, yeah. It was something.
Okay.
Yeah. It was something. It was hot. we're almost thinking, oh wow, we could probably take this experiment and manipulate it, right? All right, maybe not a third full, but let's barrel one at a half full, mm-hmm. and wait 5 years, and maybe we can, because usually our rye goes in at 117, it's usually somewhere around 121 at 4 years, wheated goes in at 107. That rye is slower for some reason we've noticed, so that might be around 108, 109 after 4 years. So we thought about, you know, intentionally barreling one or lowering the proof or lowering the volume on one just to see if we could get a higher proof sooner. I don't know, you know,
that is interesting because the whole oxidation aspect comes into play then, because now you have more oxygen in the cask and that's going to change all the flavors and stuff like that too.
Yeah.
So that plays, I mean, so much more than just raising the proof, but that had to taste crazy.
It was definitely ethanol forward, but after you let it was one of those where we had to let it sit in the glass for a little bit. Because we all were so excited, we thiefed it out, we poured it, we measured it just to make sure a couple of times to make sure we were looking at the right proof, and then we all tried it. We all looked at each other like, "Woo!"
There she is.
Yeah, there she is. So we had to come back to it like 5 minutes later, and it was good. It was solid.
That's really fun. Yeah. So you've been doing a lot of single barrel releases for different companies. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people have come forward and they're like, hey, we want to do, you know, something fun, something different, something exciting, or super near and dear. So was that organic? Was that kind of word of mouth, or did it kind of just get promoted? Or is it really just because you're not saying no to a lot of things and you're just like, yeah, we'll just figure it out?
A little bit organic. You know, we started with partnerships, you know, a fun way to raise money, for example, for Shays. And, you know, we did the Shays barrels. And then same thing we do every year with ECMC and Taste of Country. You know, a certain amount of the proceeds go back. And that's kind of our way to give back to ECMC. So it was kind of a fun way to get involved with a popular community organization and give back at the same time. And then we started getting approached by just private corporations. They're like, hey, we're about to have our 25th anniversary. Do you mind if we come in and pick a barrel and do up a label? And so I'm not going to say no, right? Like, sure, come on in. You know, we'll figure it out. And we started going like the private label route with that. Yeah.
What is the oldest that you have right now?
Probably about 5.5.
5.5.
Yeah, maybe one of our very first. So it would be like we're at 6.5. So maybe there's a 6 lying around, but that's about it. They did. I just found this out a couple of months ago. Those rascals. They buried an MGP on me. So we have like an 11-year-old MGP tucked away.
I love that.
They're like, what are you going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? Like, I don't know. We just thought we'd take one of our 5 years. And, you know, so when they told me we were all out on MGP, we really had one tucked away.
That's awesome. Do you see that most of these single barrels are gauged towards a specific year? Like, do you see that people resonate more with the 4 year versus the 5 year? Or do you normally stick people to the oldest stuff when you're doing a single barrel?
When we're doing a pick, we definitely want it to be our best stuff, right? Like, we want it to shine. We want our customer, our client, our partner, whoever it might be, to be you know, happy with what they picked. So it tends to be some of our older stuff. We'll throw in, like, I remember one time we had a 3.5-year-old, believe it or not, 3.5-year-old rye, 21% rye bourbon, that just was a banger. And we put it up there next to the rest of them. And it was one of the very few casts that we bought that was 36 months age seasoned.
Wow.
Yeah. So it actually made it. All right. I'll be honest now. It actually made it to the pick accidentally. But afterwards, we're like, whatever. Let's do it. This is awesome.
Yeah.
They didn't see it. They didn't realize it was a 36-month season. They just thought it tasted phenomenal for 3.5 years.
Yeah.
So that got picked. We really just look for some of our top stuff. Because a lot of times, if it's a bourbon, we're blending the rye and the wheat. And sometimes we give the option to blend, but they don't necessarily. They don't necessarily pick both a rye and a wheat. Or we've had one try a bunch and say, we like these three, but this barrel was so outstanding, I don't want to mix anything with it. We're going to take that barrel.
Nice.
Yeah.
What's the story?
Yeah, so this is kind of one that's a little bit near and dear to the heart, right? So it's the Harbin's Distilling Co. Quiet Tribute. And to be honest, not my idea. My father's idea, who's in the audience here. He came to me, and he's one of those guys who's very, very quiet, mild-mannered. Doesn't ask for anything. So when he asked to do a bottle and tribute to my grandparents, who were both in World War II, I was like, yeah, of course, Dad, we can make that happen for you. And we teamed up with Western New York Heroes, you know, so I was like, well, we always like to have some kind of charity involved. So we teamed up with the Western New York Heroes, it was a fun way to give back not only to them, but also to tell a little bit about my grandfather's story in World War II, which is wild. And we all grew up with it, so we kind of like, I don't want to say forgot about it, but it wasn't like we're walking around telling everybody about it. So he was in World War II, and it just so happened, Dad, you didn't know this. I happened to be watching Band of Brothers with my wife. If you haven't seen that, it's phenomenal. That's great TV, right? And so this, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like exactly what happened to my grandfather. Him and four brothers all went to World War II. All were fighting in different places. He ended up being at the Battle of the Bulge in, was it France? And he volunteered to be a medic to go over enemy lines, right? You're supposed to wear the helmet. You're not supposed to get shot. You're supposed to help the other guys down. But at that point in the war, they didn't care, right? You got shot.
Yeah.
So he went over. He was trying to help somebody. A tank turns around a corner, fires at him, knocks his helmet off, so he plays dead. And he's like, thank God I didn't have the strap or it would have taken my head off. Tank rolls, passes by. Whoops. Good catch there. Tank passes by, and I'll get to the, I'll kind of sum it up quick, but him and another guy end up running into a barn, running up and hiding in a hayloft that the Nazis then, when they pushed the American soldiers back, took over and used as their head base for 21 days. And they were stuck in a hayloft. Surviving, they'd sneak down at night and get food, and there was icicles on the roof that they would use for water. My grandfather ended up getting gangrene, so at one point he couldn't even make it out of the hayloft. His buddy Maui was bringing him food, and he's got all these, like, he was telling us, I remember when I was a kid, that, you know, at night the Americans would bomb the village that they were in, and so they were worried about getting bombed by the Americans.
Yeah.
And then during the day, the Nazis would be down there talking about their plans and stuff. And one time they found an American gun that was some kind of faster shoot automatic to some degree. I don't remember exactly what he said, but they thought it was funny. So they were shooting it up in the tin roof of this barn, and the bullets were just going down everywhere around them. And it's just as wild. So eventually the American troops pushed back. They found them, and at first they thought they were spies, or that there were Germans dressed up as Americans, because it was just too an incredible story that you've just been sitting up here this whole time. And then when they realized it's true, they got immediately flown to different bases, deposed, right? Like, what did you hear? Because my grandfather did speak some German, ended up meeting President Truman after they were both healed up, but got the Purple Heart. Just a wild story, right? Like, so I wrote a paper about this in the eighth grade. So the whole idea is this is gonna go on sale the Wednesday before Memorial Weekend. It's already out with our distributor. The liquor store should be getting it soon. We're gonna do an event here where we're not only selling the bourbon, but Western York Heroes is gonna come in. There'll be a 50-50. We're gonna be doing like a rare bourbon raffle. We're gonna donate some of our Wellers and whatnot. And all that money will go to Western York Heroes. Organization that creates service dogs for veterans. If you're not familiar, great people. And I didn't realize this, but they actually, after we talked about this, I got sent these two applications. Like, what are these? They're like, oh, yeah, we're going to name two dogs if you're grandparents. So,
oh, sweet.
So some service members are getting Dick and Wanda.
Dude, that's
yeah. So with this, a little bit of the stories in here and what we're going to do on this particular day, May 20th. Wednesday, May 20th, 7 o'clock. I'm going to read the three-page story I wrote when I was in 11th grade. Then we're going to pass the mic, and anybody that has a name that they want to say out loud to in memorial, and then we'll have a toast to everybody at the end. And just a cool way to kind of cap it all off.
That's amazing, man. That's such a good story.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah. It's a single barrel?
It's a single barrel rye. Yeah. So we'll crack it open. You guys both got one to take home, but we'll crack this one open.
Oh, dude, thank you.
100%.
That is such a good story, and I love when family gets involved with some of this stuff too, because we can sometimes get over hyped on and just creating products, but there's a huge family aspect to all this stuff too. So that's a really cool story.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a bottled and bond 21% rye bourbon. Nice. So you're looking at about a five-year-old our stuff. We had to get it in the bottle and get it going quickly. I know at one point we talked about seeing if we could coordinate schedules to have you guys pick it. Molly ended up picking it because it's just Empire's like, you got to get it to us like now or it's not going to make it by Memorial Week.
Got it. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
All right. I guess that makes sense.
Did that give you a little extra stress picking that bottle because you knew what it was going towards? Or were you just like, it tastes good. We're good.
Again, I lean heavily on my crew.
Sure.
And I thought they picked out a couple of good barrels. We tried them and we all kind of leaned towards one. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, you know, this is good stuff. One of our first, I guess technically this is our second bottled in bond SKU. So our first one was actually Taste the Country last year. This would be number two.
Nice.
I love it. The, you know, I'm kind of speechless about the entire thing. I have family that fought in World War II, Korea, Vietnam, my own service, the whole thing. But it's wild to hear those stories because you really kind of forget the trials and tribulations that they went through just trying to do their job. And to your point, like, yes, Band of Brothers is unbelievably famous, but it does showcase some of those things.
Right.
And it's very heavy, and they almost, like, chuckle about it. Like, well, yeah, I was just in a hayloft. And you're like, no, repeat that. Like, yeah. I don't think you understand what you just said out loud. Like, right. That's bananas. Yeah. And he's like, well, yeah, I was just, you know, sipping on an icicle, because what else are you going to do? Like, right. That was my only source of water. It's just, it's crazy. Greatest Generation for sure, but... Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cheers to the American spirit, yeah. No doubt.
Here, you can take this one. Yeah.
Yeah, finish. Just slam the 114 proof.
Yeah, you're good.
That helps.
There it is.
What's the proof of this one?
100. Bottom 100.
Bond. Oh, yeah, right. Sure.
Bottom bond. Cheers.
Thank you.
To this great nation. No, that's amazing.
Now, you've been...
We need to buy one for the studio.
You've been on record for saying that you could taste bottled and bond. Can you taste this bottled and bond?
Yes. We've been doing a lot of blind tastings.
I saw the one episode where you...
That was wild.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And if a bottled and bond is in that lineup, it's the one thing that I'm actually very confident on, blind.
All right.
But it's the easiest when you think about it.
Yes, because it's not as complex. It's just...
It's so regulated.
Yeah.
It's these things, and it's that proof. Yes. And you just know. I don't know. To me, it's easier.
There's usually a much more straightforward mouthfeel, right?
Yes.
You don't got, like, things coming in at different angles on you. Yeah, I could see that. All right, well, I'll tell you what. So we have another...
I'll tell you what.
That's really good, though, dude.
Thank you. We have another bottle and bond coming out, believe it or not, in May, probably towards the end of May. It's a weeded. Our first weeded bottle and bond. It's the weeded only.
May's in like 3 days.
I know.
you're making it seem like, oh, it's so far away. It's just, out in May.
Well, this is going to be early May. The other one's going to be late May.
Okay.
But we had to get them all to our, you know, with a distributor, there's different things you got to think about. So we had to get them all to them so they could file them in time. But it's we intend it to be a core product. Our first core product since the original whiskeys. It's going to be a weeded bourbon. Very cool label. Bottle and bond, five-year-old weeded. So I'll give you guys one of the first, and you can do it in your blind, and you can see.
Love that.
Can you pick it out? It'll be something you don't even know exists.
Yeah.
I know. Okay. All right. Challenge accepted. Thank you. That's amazing.
Technically, everything in your warehouse could be considered a bottle and bond, right? As long as it's one barrel, because then you're guaranteeing that it was all distilled in one season.
Correct. Yeah. That's the big distinction. Yeah. Is the season correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, everything. Yeah. Everything over. Well, no, I take that back, because there's stuff in our warehouse right now that's under 4 years old, right?
Fair. Yeah. Because
we're still making barrels today.
Yeah.
So everything over 4 years old is technically bottled up.
But like, I think that that's an interesting distinction, because I feel like a lot of people think bonded warehouse is like something super secret, and it's just like, no, this is just registered. I guess, how does that process work to make it government controlled nowadays, that it's not like what it used to be because of rectifiers ruining life?
Right. And it all comes back to taxes. Sure. They could care less if it's ruined by a rectifier. Let's be honest. It's the application you fill out, the security protocol they want to see. They want to make sure that if it's not taxed yet, nobody has access to it. And that's why, for example, when we did the Cotter, I paid the tax before we put it on the boat, right? So it's, you know, and that's all they care about. They could care less if, oh, somebody not supposed to be drinking it. Nah, tax paid.
Do they care at all about, like, I mean, I'm sure that they don't, but even back in the day, how much you're taking out of it to taste test? I guess, what is that process like?
Yeah, I mean, that's a gray area.
Sure.
You know, depending on who's watching.
Oh, for sure. But that's part. So I guess that's assumed loss.
Right. You're supposed to kind of file that. And there's an R&D section, you know, where you're kind of supposed to measure every sip you've ever taken and blah, 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 blah. There's an R&D section for that, essentially, where you're sipping it.
I love that.
That's fascinating. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Is that a part of like a distillery P&L? Like R&D?
It can be.
See?
Yeah.
Now we have to distinct how many casks out of the 250 are for R&D so that you have a more accurate P&L.
Yes.
It's just to help you, Justin.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course.
This turned out to be a tax lesson.
You got to put a disclaimer now that we're not tax professionals.
Yeah, I love it.
Awesome.
So this is a release party for this. This is such a cool aspect of it. Mike, what are you getting on this?
Okay. So not to plug neat notes. That's what you're saying?
Yeah. Is this, I'm sorry if you said it already, but the 74-21-5, or what's the mash on this?
No, that's correct.
Okay.
So 74 corn, 21 rye, and then the 5 would be the honeymoon.
Which is consistent with your normal bourbon, your flagship bourbon?
Correct. It's consistent with the rye that's blended with the wheated bourbon.
Right. Okay.
So we just took the rye barrel by itself.
Got it.
So butter, honey, vanilla, a touch of toffee, and wood oak, I'm getting. I wouldn't say wood sugar, but I'm getting wood oak. Like fresh wood.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. I do. This is where I think that the biggest Hartman's difference is for me, that you guys are now using your own juice, because this is completely your own.
Correct.
I always get this, the wooden spoon that you have with your ice cream when you were a kid. Remember those plastic ice cream things? And I would gnaw on that wooden spoon. That note for me is always consistent with Kentucky whiskey. I used to get it a lot with your Hartman's because it was Kentucky. Indiana, MGP. Yeah.
Right.
I don't get it at all with this, which when Mike is saying about that oak note, it's a different, it's not the balsa wood note that I'm getting with the tongue depressor that doctors use. It's an oaky, like, freshness and roundness and that sweetness coming from that, too. And I love that with this product, because I think this does a very good job of indicating what Hartman's bourbon is. Your other stuff, what's your flagship proof? Is it 90?
86. Correct.
I think that this bourbon is better at 100 proof. Is very good.
Yeah, I would agree. 86 almost starts to be a little low. It was meant to be for those getting just into bourbon, right? So we you know, your daily sipper, your I'm not too upset if I mix it with something on this particular day kind of proof. But I agree. I think 100 is where it hits perfectly.
Did it just make sense to release, because of the whole memorial aspect of this, release a bottled and bond to go with it? Or is that, again, just going back to what you're talking about with Molly tasting and just figuring out what tastes best, it just happened to be bottled and bond?
It just happened to be bottled and bond. We actually picked two barrels, and they were both same batch, you know, same season, I should say. They weren't necessarily bottled on the same day. I think they were off by like a month or two, but it was the same season.
Got it.
And so we're like, well, we can put bottled and bond. I mean, it's a four, I think it was like 4.8, so just over 4.5 years in age on one and just under 5 on the other, or you know, however months apart they were. So I was like, it's definitely a bottle and bond. And we to be honest with you, we picked the 100 proof probably based on that. You know, we're like, I don't want it to be 86. I want it to be higher. And we're like, well, let's try it. And we're like, let's just put it on her.
Sure.
You know, we tried it. We didn't even try it on anything else. We tried it at 100. And we're like, yeah, let's not mess around.
Who'd you work with on the label?
So the label, to be honest with you, started with my dad. I kind of gave him a Hartman's label, and he likes to mess around with good old AI, I guess. And so some iteration of this came to me. I sent it to Niagara Label, who does all our labels. They do a great job. And eventually we fit it into a Hartman-esque label. And then the back of the label, which I don't know if the camera caught, but it's a picture of my grandparents in their army garb. A picture that we had, so we sent that to them too. And I did take a not to compare it to Pappy, but I did take a picture of the photo, you know, of Pappy smoking a cigar. I'm like, I wanted to have that older, authentic-y feel to
it. Yeah, that vibe.
That vibe, yeah.
Yeah.
Just as a way to show them, because the back, the paper's different. A lot of things are different about it, and I think they nailed it.
Any significance on the bag that came with it?
Just to make it bougie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to be honest with you. Again, my dad doesn't ask for a lot, so when he said, hey, I want this, I'm like, all right, here's all the bells and whistles.
Yeah.
Here's everything I could possibly do. You're getting your fancy label. This is our first time, if you know, this is our first time we've ever had a Necker. So this is the first time we've had that. I'm like, let's do it. Let's go with the bag. So believe it or not, I think after the proceed that we donate, we're at like a net loss on each bottle.
I love that.
Awesome.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, that's how you would do it, right?
Yes, 100%.
This is sweet.
Lost money.
Lost money. 542 in the hole.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was actually a real conversation when we filed taxes this year. So, yeah. We literally went in, and then she's like, don't forget this. And we're like, now we lost money. Like, got it. Like, we thought we were doing so good. Yeah. We're in the green.
Our next one of these, we're going to have a CPA sit down with us.
100%.
Hey, verify all these crazy assumptions about accounting that we're making. Get some advice.
That's insane. I love that you have this story written in there, too. It kind of gives, like, that Jefferson's Ocean vibe of, like, let me tell you the story of the bottle,
yeah,
which is
sweet. Yeah, but it's... I can't say... I'm going to say it, but it's real.
Like, yeah,
it's
obviously, not. Yeah.
Yeah, that really happened.
Yeah.
Oh, it's pretty wild.
So... Again, plug the release party for this.
Yeah, absolutely. May 20th, Wednesday before Memorial Weekend. Come to Hartman's. We're going to put them on sale. You may find them at the local liquor stores starting as early as the week or 2 weeks before. But we'll have them on sale, $49.99. Again, we kept the price very approachable. Some of the proceeds go to Western New York Heroes from the bottles themselves. Then they will be here with a 50-50 raffle. We'll be doing a $5 ticket bourbon raffle, a couple of Wellers. I got a couple other things that we're going to throw together, probably 5-6 bottles. All the proceeds going to Western New York Heroes. I'm going to read the story that I wrote in eighth grade. I've read it, and I was like, oh, okay, buddy. You're lucky you decided to be a distiller. And then, like I said, we'll pass around a mic, and everybody that lost a loved one, lost a loved one maybe not in war or after war, whatever, that served and wants to say their name to put out there in the universe, right?
Yeah.
And then at the end, we'll do a toast, a free toast, complimentary toast of the product as a thank you.
Are you limiting or selling tickets or anything like that or no?
Free event.
Okay, free event.
100%. Just show up 7 o'clock or 6:30 Wednesday, May 20th.
Hopefully the weather's nice and then you can have those doors open and everything like that. The place rocks in the summertime, man.
Oh, it's so much fun.
This is so cool. Are you closing down the street again?
We're trying.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll always make the effort.
Yeah, which is essentially just applying for the permit every year.
I have to get certain people to agree that they are okay with it, but yes.
Politically?
Yes.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Pumphrey, man. I mean, what else can we... Anything else you want to talk about? Anything else coming out? I mean, we hinted
you literally
at the
Weeden. He dropped like 5 things.
I know. Right. We hinted crazy. At the Weeden. Is there anything else that...
Yeah, there's the rye, the Bottle and Bond rye at the end of May, which is in 3 days.
Bottle and Bond Weed, right?
Bottle and Bond Weed's at the end of May.
Bottle and Bond Weed is at the end of May. He won double gold. That's coming out. Also at the end of the month.
This,
so what
this
else are you doing?
Came out. That came out. The double gold came out in December. Yeah. There's not much of that left. I bought the rest for my part. So you haven't found it by now.
Are you litigating any cases coming up, or like what's going on?
Yeah, any depositions?
No, I do have one more. We have the Taste of Country.
Oh, right.
So WYRK came in. That some of the proceeds go to ECMC. This is their third year, and it's their 25th anniversary. So if you're a country fan, pretty cool release. They picked three barrels, so it's going to be a blend of actually three barrels. Mm. So super excited about that. I haven't tried it yet, so I can't really attest to it. I just know that they were really happy, and they thought they were really cool barrels.
It's going
to
be a bourbon?
It's going to be a bourbon blend, yeah.
Got it.
And it's that should also be coming out in May.
May's a super easy month for you, man.
Yeah. We're here.
What are you going to do?
But we could plug the, again, I believe it's the Sunday before Father's Day. And if you guys are around, you should come in. A complimentary bottle. I think first time we've ever done this. We want to have, or it's going to be open for 4 hours. You come in, you pay a fee, and you can pick your own bourbon. Thief it right out of the thief, just like we were talking about with your father, with whoever. You literally get to, we'll seal it right there for you, the whole nine. You taste a whole bunch of them and walk out the door with your old bourbon. So we're going to do that for the first time this Sunday before Father's Day.
You have a lot going on. Are you releasing this to like email subscribers or on Instagram? Or I guess if these people listen to this interview and they just heard 97 things that are happening in May, how do they... Where do they go to find this information other than this? Listen to this podcast 14 times.
Yeah, Instagram's the best way.
Okay.
Yeah, Hartmann's_distilling. I have a team that runs all our social medias. They're way more organized than I am. You can sign up. We have an email list. You can jump online, sign up to that. Yeah, I think those are probably the best ways.
How are you doing with the Bondsman stuff?
Yep.
Is that going well still?
Yeah. So that only is available the month before Christmas, the end of the year, right? Yep. I think we put on sale usually the second week of November. Still running strong. The Bondsman, if you're interested for next November, keep an eye out. Again, it'll go on sale. Instagram will tell you. But they actually get always the first opportunity to buy these and buy these at a 10% discount.
Nice.
So the Bondsman next week will be able to buy this before anybody can. And, you know, as well as our other products. Not to mention they're the first in line to hear about new products coming out. They're the first in line to have RSVP opportunities to our big events. For example, Kentucky Derby's coming up. So that's always fun. Yeah, they're that's a good awesome. Group.
And we should also, too, before we round out, talk about the barrel room, because that's something new. We were here the last time we recorded a podcast in here. How is this going? Give people the vibe of this place, just because it's different than your outside spot if no one's heard about it yet.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, so open Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Just ask to see the barrels. You can actually jump right on Resi and reserve seats on the couches. It's 20 people, sit down only. It's very candlelit, intimate. 380 bourbons we're up to now, believe it or not. It's hard. We've just gotten two of the different Kings of Kentucky. Nice. Gentlemen, yeah, we should partake. No, but and Lauren Gordetsky, all the credit to her. She's the barrel room manager. She's the mastermind. She comes up with phenomenal cocktails. Another little drop. We might be actually introducing a Lauren Gordetsky cocktail book soon.
Ooh, sweet.
Yeah, because I think she deserves all the credit.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Really appreciate you sitting down with us. This is awesome. You have a very busy next couple months. I'm sure we'll be in touch, but genuinely appreciate the conversation. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Before we go, can I just say, I did download Neat Notes.
Okay.
And I like it.
Yeah?
I just started going through it. I haven't sat down and had a bourbon since you even told me about Neat Notes. But I can see myself, you know, sitting down and plugging through it. I was reading reviews today, which I thought was pretty
nice.
Cool. So I'm super excited for you guys for that. I think that's going to do very well.
Thank you.
Honestly,
I really do.
I think it's really well done, and it's the first thing that comes. It's the second thing that comes up when you put neat in your app search. The first thing's like some kind of weird AI something or other. I don't even know what the hell it is, but then it's Neat Notes. So you must be getting traction.
That's
right?
So cool. Like, yeah, I mean we got over 200 users and over about 400 tastings in there already.
Okay,
about 1,100 whiskeys in there. So we're definitely growing. It's been about a month and a half.
The app is downloaded in 15 different countries.
Is it in different languages?
No.
No.
Oh, come on.
Not yet.
Swingali.
But when you set up your phone in a different country, you pick what language your phone is providing anyways.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it is.
Oh, that's right.
I have no idea.
But it's in 15 different countries already.
Yeah. All right.
That's wild.
That is pretty wild. Good for you guys. Yeah. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, appreciate it. And if you do come to Hartman's and you specifically go into the barrel room or even the distillery outside, you can plug all of Hartman's stuff into Neat Notes and everything on the back bar, too. It's a cool way to figure out what you actually like. And I like all of this stuff, especially this rye, man. I really am thinking that this rye, this 6535, is a sweet blend for you because this was fantastic.
Yeah, I think we got sometimes you just get lucky.
Sometimes you just get lucky.
Oh, God. But yeah, being able to, the last point, being able to actually say where you're having the drink and being able to say I've had this at Hartman's, it helps everybody else in the app know, oh, I can have this Elijah Craig 18. I can have that at the Barrel Room and Hartman's, right? Or whatever's available. So that's really cool, too, because other users can then see I don't just have to go to, say, Lucky Day or wherever. They can come here, and it's all within the app. Yeah!
We should do something. We could talk more off the mic, where they show Lauren, right, that they rated a bourbon or whiskey, anything, here, and they get some kind of special complimentary thing.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Like a half ounce or something. Yeah. Saying, all right, thank you for, you know, saying that you reviewed it at Hartman's and reviewing it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Might be something to look into.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Of course.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Take care, man.
Always talk soon.